Okay, welcome back YouTube to another FPL family video, and in a slight change to our usual schedule, we're here on a Monday morning because, frankly, we did not get back in time from Spurs on Sunday. We did not get back in time. It was a long journey. It was difficult it wasn't difficult getting out of the stadium, but it's just, by the time we got back, we'd fed the children, put them to bed, it was like...
It was gone 9 o'clock. By
it
the time
was gone
the kids
9 o'clock, and frankly, we were knackered. So we are in a far more, I don't know, I feel a bit more calm. Usually our Sunday night live stream is like, we've just watched all the football on a Sunday on the TV, and we come on and we give this sort of knee-jerk reaction to whatever's going on. Well, I feel a bit, I don't know, just calmer this morning. I feel like I can take it all in and talk a bit more, less erratically than normally I do on a Sunday.
I mean, I don't know. I was buzzing.
I don't know. Yeah. Give us your feel on that. So obviously we're at the Spurs game yesterday. Give us your initial take on it. Give us your feel just while I adjust the microphone, because I can see that we're both quite far away from it.
The first half we were awful. Like, we were.
It was not good.
Awful.
Not good.
The second half we were a lot better. In fact, I got some stats, didn't I? I said to you, I found some stats about Spurs yesterday. So I'll start with them. So first half, Spurs 2 attempts. Second half, 11 attempts. On target.
This is first half versus second half of Spurs. Because let me tell you, I'm really interested to see these stats back up the eye test. Because the eye test was night and day
versus second half.
Night and day.
On target in the first half, no shots. On target in the second half, 4. Hit the woodwork 3 times in the second half versus none. The most interesting one for me here is expected goals. 0.06 in the first half.
That seems like a lot for the first half, frankly. It was that bad.
2.07 in the second
half. It was
so much better.
What happened then? Was it Conte getting his hairdryer out early doors? I mean, he didn't expect to get it out quite this early, but I don't know, did he give him a rocket or what happened?
I think we all thought he needed to get out this early. the other one that's interesting here is 5 touches in the box versus 18 touches in the box. Now, I think there was a number of things that were going on in the first half. I think obviously we did have a couple of key problem areas on the pitch in terms of the injury to Romero, which fundamentally changes how we play at the back, but also the suspension for Ollie Skip, which meant that Winks was playing. So there was a lot of players in there that...
Oh, Harry Winks had a difficult first half, didn't he?
He did. And there were a lot of players...
He was getting some pelters from the stands, I can tell you. I can tell you.
There was a lot of players in there that weren't necessarily regularly in there. Yes. Maybe let's say it that way. And I think they took a while to get into it. And then at half time, there was more energy, there was more pace, there was more drive, there was a lot more commitment from the players.
All right.
Everything was better.
All right. Well, we'll talk in a bit more detail about that Spurs game, because all those stats that you've reeled off there and the eye test suggest that there was something that happened at half time. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's something in the cup of tea they had at half-time or whether Conte just threw the tea around. I don't know. But something happened and Spurs came out much better in the second half. But as usual, guys, we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about a few of the other games at a high level because it's a Monday, right? We're going to probably won't do the sort of hour and a half that we usually do for a live stream. But we'll maybe do a 40-45 minute video, see how we go. We have some questions from the patrons as well in lieu of the questions that we normally would have in the live chat. So we'll go through a few of those. And of course, we'll be looking at our teams and how we got on this season, this week. And I, for one, need to take more risks. I need to be riskier.
I took a risk this week, and it didn't quite pay off.
No,
but it wasn't. It wasn't horrendous.
Well, we'll talk about your team a bit later on because going against the Salah captain this week was a risk, no doubt about it.
It could have been brilliant.
I was impressed that you took it. But for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'll be amazed if you do it again. I will be amazed if you go against Salah captain over the next 2 weeks because his fixtures look unreal. And yet again, the Egyptian King delivered against Arsenal. And could he have done a lot better? Yes, were it not for what can only be described as the best goalkeeper in the league at the minute, Ramsdale.
What's happened to Ramsdale?
Oh, my days.
What's happened to him?
Unbelievable.
Why has he suddenly become like...
I know they lost 4-0, right? But without Ramsdale, it would have been worse. Could have had more.
If he keeps doing this, he's got to play for England, hasn't he? Ahead of Pickford.
Ooh, there's a shout.
If he keeps playing like this...
Yeah.
Sorry, Pickford, you're out.
You're out. Sorry, mate. Ramsdale looking very, very good indeed. So this is the point at which we'd usually say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
So hi, everybody. No live chat, but yes, hello, welcome, and hope you had a good game week. And yeah, happy Monday to all of you out there. So we're not going to do that, Sam. We're going to go head first into the game week fixtures and start talking about these games. So where do you want to start? I think we've already started with a little bit of talk about Spurs, so I think we should just carry that on, because okay. I'm interested to hear, in particular, we've talked about the team, we've talked about the setup, etc. Let's do a little bit on that, but I'd like to hear from an FPL perspective what you thought, because the goals came from Højbjerg and Reguilón, right? So anybody that got Reguilón in, well done, fair play. I don't remember, and I was sitting next to this guy. Obviously, I'm not a season ticket holder, but your mum is, and I was sitting in her seat, and the guy next to me, Dave, shout out to Dave if you're watching, hi Dave, did tell him about the channel, of course. That Dave, who's a very, very regular at Spurs, was saying, he physically can't remember the last time a Spurs player followed up on a free kick. He was sitting there, he's like, I genuinely can't remember the last time we had a free kick and it fell to like a Spurs player from there was players following it in. So to see Reguilón doing that, that's a positive, right? That's a positive.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first half, as I mentioned before, we won't talk about too much because it was dreadful. Only to say that actually Leeds played very well for a team that were half a team in that first half. Yeah. They did well.
And to be fair, that is a comment to make at this stage. That was a Carabao Cup Leeds team, wasn't it?
They were missing their best players. There was no Rafinha. There was obviously still no Bamford. There was no Robert. There was so many missing key players for Leeds yesterday. But the first half, you wouldn't have known it. I mean, in part, that's because Spurs were so awful. But in part, it's because Leeds played well as well. And they did take their opportunities.
They did.
So credit to them. But the second half, I think that's where we need to focus. Because for the majority of FPL managers, if you're looking to invest in anyone from that game, it would be Spurs, given the run of fixtures that Spurs have coming up. I was pleased to see what happened at halftime because they came out better, didn't they? It was immediate. Like, Harry Kane immediately had one off the post.
Yeah, within seconds, right? If you were still getting your beer at halftime, you'd have missed it.
Well, I took Evie to the toilet and we were literally walking back down the steps.
If you'd have missed the Kane goal, you'd have been
Oh my God, I'd have gone mental. Fuming, yeah. So we'd literally got to our seat as Kane was running forward. And I stopped in the alleyway and then I realised I was probably blocking everyone's view. So sorry if I'm behind to watch it happen. And I was like, oh man. So I was pleased with that because there was an immediate response. And I actually could... What was interesting for me is I was sitting quite near Conte and I was watching what he was doing.
Very animated, wasn't he? But I guess that's his style, right?
It was, but he kept pulling Kane over. I don't know if you spotted this from where we were sitting in different parts of the stadium. He kept pulling Kane over and just talking to him. And then Kane would go off and do something slightly different on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I thought, that in itself is interesting because you're actually coaching. I'm watching you coach players.
Yeah.
Live in play, which we never get at Spurs. Like, that never happens.
Nuno and Jose, you just don't get that.
No. Yeah. But it was good because you could see Kane trying the things that Conte was saying and played much better and was unlucky not to return in that second half.
So talk to me about Kane's positioning then, because a lot of FPL managers got on Kane this week because I saw this as a good fixture and I still think that's a good move and Spurs fixtures going forward look okay. So there's no panic on Kane, I don't think, particularly as he could have had FPL points easily, certainly in that second half.
Yeah.
But a lot of the reason FPL managers were getting him this week was that, well, Conte wants him to play in that nine. He wants him to play as that striker, more advanced in the box, don't drop deep. I saw a little bit more dropping deep from Kane, especially in that first half.
In the first half, he dropped deep a lot.
And maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe that's not what Conte wants him to do.
Well, yeah, and I think in the first half, we were awful, and he wasn't getting it. We know Kane is one of those players that likes to be involved in what's happening. And
of course.
In seasons gone by, that's happened as well. When Spurs haven't been playing well, he naturally drops deeper because he wants to get the ball and he wants to be involved and try and drive Spurs forward. And that just... In the first half, it was old Kane, definitely. We were starting to see this whole cutting a frustrated figure, not really involved in the play.
Yeah.
Second half, there were occasional moments where he would drop in, win the ball. But what I was watching is what he did then. Because in the past, he would play the ball in and wouldn't always then follow it through into the box. But he was making the run. So he'd play the ball from deep, but he would go forwards and he'd end up in the box somewhere as well. And I thought that was interesting because... If he's therefore still going to drop deep to win balls and put them in, he's still got the opportunity to get assists for us as FPL managers.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's then following it in, and the free kick is a prime example of that, the fact that we are following the ball in...
That's a basic that obviously Conte in his first couple of weeks has gone, look, if you get a free kick edge of the box, bloody follow it in.
Yeah.
They tell that.
They tell us the under-8s, don't they?
Under-8s London County Colts that we watch on a Sunday with our lad. That's what they teach them at that age, is follow the bloody thing in. And it's nice to see Spurs finally doing it.
And it wasn't even just from free kicks. They're actually going... More of them are going into the box. Every attack, there was two or three of them up there, rather than it just being, you know, Son on a counter or Kane on a counter or more. You know, there was a lot more of it. And I people was quite impressed in the second half. I thought we played well. We were engaged in what was happening. It was a real team effort, though. The whole team were going together. And I do think that in next week, when Skip is back, that will improve that midfield, because we were lacking a holding midfielder, because Winks
for
just
sure
isn't
in
here.
That so in that first half in particular, I noticed, and it I wouldn't say that it happened a lot in the second half either, but you found solutions to it. It was that Eric Dier would pick up the ball in that sort of ball playing centre half, which I think is probably Romero going
usually,
forward, probably.
Yeah. But not for six game weeks.
Yeah, because he's not available, right? Dyer's got to find a way to be a bit more of a footballer, right? He's got to be more comfortable on the ball and come out of defence with it. And I noticed in that first half, there was no one to give it to.
No.
So what he's looking for Winks to show himself, right? Winks has got to show, and he's got to receive that ball back to goal, Winks, and he's got to turn and then be the transition player. And it just wasn't happening for Winks. And every time he got the ball, you could see Geldhart and others, Geldhart in particular, I thought, noticed that. And he did a really good job of getting in and around Winks, so that every time Eric Dier got his head up and looked for Winks, Geldhart was either there or he was a yard or two away, knowing that if Harry Winks gets the ball in that position and I close him down, he'll lose it. So I think Leeds' game plan kind of worked from that perspective in the first half.
And what I would say is, in the first half, I also thought that the wing-backs were quite ineffective. They weren't really able to, because the ball wasn't played out as Conte would want it to, from Dier through Winks and then out to Reguilón or Royale. They were both ineffective. Royale had a very bad first half. He was...
They all did. You can't single him out.
No, but in particular... But I'm singling him out because in the second half, I thought he was one of the players that showed the most... He was the most different, I thought, of all of them, actually. Mm. In the second half, he was making runs. He was in the right places. He was making himself available down that wing. And there were some really nice balls coming in from him as well. So the assist potential is definitely there for
him. All right. So just to finish up on Spurs then, what's your overriding feeling? Are you optimistic coming out of that second half, or are you still a bit concerned because of that performance in the first half?
No, I am optimistic.
You've got to be, haven't you?
I also think, I don't like to relay our rhetoric about international breaks, but he lost a lot of his players over international break in terms of they weren't with him for training. A whole week now of training under Conte's style, I think we'll start to see more of that second half stuff, because he's going to just keep rocketing them.
Yeah.
And they'll have to up their game.
He's just going to keep rocketing. That is the Conte style, is what's going to happen.
Talk to me
about that left-back position briefly then, from an FPL perspective, because we saw late on in the game Sessegnon come on for Reguilón.
Yeah.
And if you bought Reguilón in this week, fair play, he's got the goal, so nice one, you get the FPL points for that. Do you think there's a bit of a rotation risk now going forward with Sessegnon coming in there? Because Sessegnon did an all right job.
He did an all right job.
What I heard in and around me from the season ticket holders at Spurs, there is a little bit of a narrative there about wanting Sessegnon to get a few more minutes, because, you know, you're not going to have to do a lot of defending in that wing back role under the Conte system. What Conte's looking for is a wing back, an attacker that's going to have pace and fly down that wing. So Sessegnon on paper probably fits the bill better than Reguilón does, doesn't he?
Just saying.
No?
Not for me.
No risk.
I mean, there's always a slight risk, but for me, Sessegnon has to really up his game if he's going to get in there, because he's not a better player than Reguilón at the moment. And Reguilón does a job and he gets back, and particularly at a time where our defence is struggling in terms of having lost Romero and we're playing sort of second, third choices in that middle three spot. You want somebody that will get back and defend. Do you, though?
I'm not sure Conte's that bothered about those guys defending.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think you saw Reguilón getting back, and you won't get that from Sessegnon. You just will not get him in there. So there are going to be occasions where Reguilón offers you far, far better a player in that position. And Sessegnon has been injured for such a long time. He's going to take a long time to come back into this. And over the Christmas period, maybe there's a slight rotation risk when there's lots of minutes, but I wouldn't be too worried.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look at the Spurs fixtures going forward then, because they remain top of the ticker. It's Burnley away next, which actually, you know, I would say on paper doesn't look... I mean, you know what Burnley can be like at Turf Moor. They can be resolute. We're seeing a bit more of a Brazilian Burnley, aren't we, nowadays, with their all-out attack mentality. Not all-out attack, but you know what I mean. They are... Yeah. They're not the Burnley that we know from a few seasons ago, is the rhetoric I would spill around those guys. But then it's Brentford and Norwich at home, particularly that Norwich game in 15. I mean, let's see whether the new manager bounce and Dean Smith can continue. I mean, back-to-back wins now for Norwich, which is unbelievable, frankly. But whether they can, you know, they can go to the Spurs stadium and get something remains to be seen. Then it's Brighton away, Leicester away. So, Yeah, the fixtures look great. So from an FPL perspective, no one's panicking on Kane, I don't think. And I don't think you're panicking on Son either, despite back-to-back blanks now for the South Korean.
Look, the reality of the situation is with both Kane and Son, they both could have and probably should have returned in that second half.
One off the bar for Sonny, wasn't it?
One off the bar, a couple off the post for Kane. There should have been returns for both of them. So if you've invested in either of them, you can't sell them now. Even with how attractive the defence is, I think you have to give those boys another week.
Yeah, and you're right to talk about the defence more on the wing-backs, not just at Spurs.
No, not at Spurs.
But, well, not just at Spurs. I mean, it's part of the conversation, but you're right. There are wing-backs at other clubs that are doing absolute bits at the moment in FPL. A word on Leeds then. Like you say, a Carabao Cup team, Rafinha and
Shame
a few others.
Really, because they could have got something out of that game in the first half. Yeah. They had a full-strength team.
Yeah, I can't help but think that, you know, had Rafinha played in that first half,
he'd have returned.
I can't believe that he wouldn't have got something out of that, because they were creating chances. They were getting in dangerous areas. And in the usual thing that I say about Spurs is they do give away chances, Spurs, but they're low XG chances. Well, Rafinha likes to score a low XG chance. So he's got COVID, I think is the rumour. I don't know whether that's... I think FPL just says he's ill, right? So I don't know whether it's illness or COVID, I don't know. So keep an eye on that, Rafinha owners and others, because Leeds right now appear to be a bit down to the bare bones in terms of players. They've got a lot out, but... There was a couple there, Calvin Phillips in particular, who I thought had a really good game.
I thought the first
Calvin
half
Phillips
they were,
was very, very good.
First half Leeds were really good. They were really good. They were by far the better team. Second half, they also got a number of opportunities, and Bielsa was going absolutely mental right at the end of the game.
Watching those two managers on the sideline was great fun.
They were
great, great fun.
Conte was like shouting at the crowd at one point. I was like, this is quality. It's like being at a show.
Yeah. Hoiberg as well. He loves a bit of, you know, get the crowd
but
up,
even
doesn't he, Hoiberg?
Did it.
Yeah, they're all at it.
They're all at it, that one.
They're all at it. They must have had a rocket at half-time. A Conte rocket, as you rightly say. Let's go all the way back to the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday, which was Leicester 0, Chelsea 3. And we talked briefly before about the fullbacks doing bits. Well, here we are again. Another week goes by. Another assist for Chilwell. Another assist for James. Talk to me about this Chelsea team right
now. A goal for my boy.
A goal for Tony Rudiger.
Yes.
Which, when we see my team a bit later on, which has Rudiger in it, guys, you will see why I'm not that happy about the Rudiger goal. I want to talk about this Chelsea defence, right? Because, yes, Lukaku's coming back, and maybe we need to have a conversation about that with his old club, Man United, coming up next, who we've got... We've done
got
20 minutes already.
Hours.
I said, at the beginning of this video, I said, well, I'll do it 40, 45 minutes. It's clearly not going to be a 45-minute video. We've got so much to talk about. But we do need to talk about Chelsea.
Talk about every game.
We've got to talk about Manu and Ollie later on. We have to. But Chelsea 3, Leicester 0, it was all about the defenders again, wasn't it? I know Kante scored a bit of a worldie there. Pulisic coming off the bench to get a goal. Great for him. But you're not looking at either of them in FPL, I don't think. But these defenders, Chilwell, James... Chilwell could have had a couple of goals, by the way, from the highlights I saw on Match of the Day.
The beginning
unreal.
One, right at the beginning of the game off the post.
Unreal.
The crossbar.
These guys, I mean, who have you got? You've got just Rudiger, right?
Yeah.
You have Chilwell or James. You must be considering a sideways move to at least one of these guys.
The
you must
more,
be.
They're more expensive.
But of course they are, because they're getting double-digit hauls every week. Rudiger ain't going to score every week, right? The 14-pointer...
Why?
He's just not. He's just
it's
not,
against
is he?
Chelsea.
He's going to be, and in this period of fixtures we've got coming up, he's great, right? Because he's going to play most
he's
of the games, going to be consistent.
But this period of fixtures that you just mentioned, where everything gets quite tightly congested, he's the one that won't get rotated.
I know. But isn't it boring having him in your team against Chilwell or James?
I mean, yes, it is. In terms of, I could have, but it's not boring owning Rudiger. And this is the thing I think.
It is boring owning Rudiger.
No, it isn't. Because I think you can easily do the double up with Rudiger and another one. Like, there's nothing wrong with owning Rudiger. The question, I guess, is, do you double up and go with James? Or... do you spread? So this week, my priority transfer in was a City defender because I was at a point where I was like, I just have to deal with this problem.
And you were right to do that,
and
right? Cancelo absolutely ripping it up right now. So yes, you're right to do that.
But now I'm at a point where I'm now looking at my defence. And so the only way to have James as well is either to go sideways from Rudiger. But I actually do like owning Rudiger. He isn't... getting nothing. He's regularly turning over the points.
That is a luxury transfer, Rudiger to James, for
it
you,
is, absolutely.
I would suggest. But if you've got Chilwell or James, happy days. Would you double up? Would you have, if you are on James right now rather than Rudiger, would you be getting Chilwell in your team as well? James and Chilwell as a double up. They look like the most... That's where the attack is coming from right
it
now.
Is,
and when Lukaku comes back, it's surely only going to benefit them because they're going to get more assists. James is going to put more balls in the box. I just can't see a world where I don't own Reece James in FPL going forward. I have to have him.
I think the only negative I have, and it's nothing to do with them because I totally agree with everything you've just said, is that we're also talking about how we want Trent, we want Cancelo. You maybe want to look at the Spurs wing-backs, maybe, but they're not in the same league as this. But,
yeah.
You know,
that's the challenge, isn't it? You can't find a space for Reguilón and Royale right now in your team because the others are doing so amazing.
And you're also therefore talking about you've got to take money. So I take money out of my forward line this week in order to do the Cancelo move. So if I want to then take up my fifth defender is Livramento. So do I really want to take Livramento out? Because he's offering me such great...
Five at the back every week.
I mean, I could...
I'm saying it now.
Well...
Go for it.
I mean, to be fair, I have lied there. I have still got Brandon Williams, haven't I? So I could...
You've got Brandon Williams?
Well, yeah, I've still
got him. That needs to get upgraded.
Yeah, but...
Come on.
So to upgrade Brandon Williams to Reece James, that's not just like... upgrade Brandon Williams
million.
To Reece James. Yeah. That's got to take some thought and it's got to take some budget that's coming from somewhere else. So then you've really got to start questioning, well, how much do I want to take out of them? Like, I look at my middle players and I think, there's nobody really there unless Jota is injured.
We've got to keep an eye on that. Yeah, we've got to keep an eye on that. He's currently flagged, I saw this morning, Monday morning on FPL, currently flagged with a knee injury.
Yeah. Knee to knee, apparently.
Yeah, it looked to me, I don't know, not a doctor, not Ben Dinnery, so plenty of people you can follow on Twitter better than I to talk about this, but it looked like an impact knee injury. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is he's not ACL'd it. It doesn't look as if he's twisted it. It doesn't look like it's a bad one.
And we have got
I don't know.
So we will get an insight on Wednesday from Klopp as to
what's happening
with Liverpool.
Yeah.
So he's...
I would be absolutely astounded if Jota plays in that Champions League game. We're already through, right? So he's going to put a B team out anyway.
Should have thought so.
If Jota's got a bit of a knee, you've got to protect him right now with Firmino out. And then with the boys going off to the AFCON, Salah and Mane at some stage, right? So he's got to wrap Jota in cotton wool. He will not play in that Champions League game.
So he's one to keep an eye on. But otherwise, it's Antonio or Kane that's got to come down. And the Spurs fixtures, I'm really not sure I want to take Kane down yet. So it gives me
but
some...
You can have Chilwell and James for the cost of a Kane. You can have both of them. And they are doing double-digit hauls every goddamn week, these guys.
Well, I don't want both of them and Rudiger. I want three Chelsea defenders. That's
why
a bit
not? Just saying.
But that's a -8 for me to do that.
Okay.
So, you know, I think you have to plan for these things. It's not just a case of, for me anyway, the way that my team is set out, to go to Reece James for next week is going to be a challenge.
All right.
On the basis that I have to plan for that move.
Okay.
In the same way that I had to plan for the Cancelo one this week.
All right, well, let's have a look at the Chelsea fixtures going forward then. The Chelsea fixtures read
United
reasonably
next.
Well. I was looking at this and thinking, oh, they're mid-table. If you look at the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, and those of you that are members on Fantasy Football Scout, if you're not a member on Scout, there's a membership link, all that sort of stuff in the description below in the video. But if you are a member at Scout, you can go to the members area, sort the fixture ticker by difficulty rating. And by the way, if you disagree with the difficulty ratings, you can change them. So Fantasy Football Scout gives you the flexibility to create your own difficulty fixture rating. But according to those experts at Scout, of which you are one.
don't point at me.
According to the experts at Scout, what they are saying is Chelsea, very much middle of the road for fixtures. But let me read them out to you, Sam. Man United at home.
New manager bounce.
Give over.
Carrick.
Give over.
Fletcher.
We're going to talk about Man United in a minute. And I think that has got the potential to be an absolute murder at Stamford Bridge next week. Watford away. Okay.
Have you seen Watford?
Have you seen Man United?
I mean, Watford are positively bouncing. Bounce. New manager, bounce.
Don't give me that. Then it's West Ham away. Okay. Difficult fixture. Leeds at home. Everton at home. Those fixtures for Chelsea over the next five are sumptuous. West Ham away... In 15 is the one where you would say, okay, that's a difficult game. The rest look great, including that Man United game.
At no point do I disagree with you.
Yeah, but you're still not getting Chilwell or James.
No, it's not even that I'm not going to get them. It's just that it needs careful thought and planning so that you don't...
Good job you're a good FPL manager, Sam, and you've put careful thought and planning into how you're going to get Chilwell or James. You've not, have you? You've not.
I've not yet. I mean, I've just got through this week. Like, I spent all my
time...
It's
just Monday. It's only Monday.
I spent all my time the last couple of weeks working out what was going to be my entry point for Cancelo. Yeah. Now I can spend some time...
Playing catch-up. You're playing catch-up. You're in one or two moves behind everybody else.
Oh, shut up. Right. Where are you? Where am I?
No, exactly. I'm miles behind. Let's talk about, a very quick word on Leicester, only to say...
What's happened to Leicester?
Well, I don't know, but my theory, and this is just a theory, so don't kill me for this. My theory is that Rodgers is already gone.
Man United?
I think Rodgers is the next Manchester United manager.
But they're not going to live with him.
Well, I think that it's already done.
Ten Hag.
Well, I think it's done. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. There's no smoke without fire. And there was a lot of smoke a few weeks back about Brendan Rodgers. Anyway, regardless of what you think about Brendan Rodgers and the managerial situation, Leicester, absolutely in the mud at the minute. However, Sam, let me point you to, let's go back to the fixture ticker that I mentioned before. They are second on the ticker, only after Tottenham Hotspur, with Watford, Southampton, Villa, Newcastle and then Spurs up next in the next five. What do Vardy owners do? If you are sitting on Jamie Vardy...
Well, that's a question for you, my love.
It is a question for me. It is a question for me. And I have to say, I am keen as mustard to bin him.
But you can't now. So we had this conversation on... What day was it? Friday. We had this conversation when you said... So Lee went a bit rogue on Friday night. I was like, I'm thinking about...
Oh, don't.
Making these random transfers, one of which was Vardy out. But you said to me, and the reason I'm bringing this
up is... I'm glad I didn't do that, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody those moves I was considering?
Well, you were going to bring in Ronaldo and Reguilón.
I was going to do Rudiger and Vardy out for Royale and Ronaldo captain. That's what I was going to do.
It wasn't Reguilón.
No, Royale. It's going to Royale. I was not... Because Reguilón was 5 and Royale was 4.9. So I was 0.1. If I had the money, I'd have done Reguilón, but I didn't. So I was going to go Royale. So that would have worked out terribly for me. So I'm glad I didn't do it. But I'm still keen to bin Vardy.
But on Friday evening when we were having that conversation and I was thinking you're a Muppet, you said, but the thing that puts me off is that next week, it's the reverse with Ronaldo and Vardy in terms of who's got the nice fixtures.
So now I've got to keep him, haven't I?
So now you're in a place. So you've been talking to me about forward planning, but now you're in the mud, aren't you?
I'm absolutely in the mud.
Because what are you going to do with Vardy? Because did you see anything from Jamie Vardy in this game?
No, I didn't see anything from Leicester at all.
I saw absolutely jack all from Leicester that would make me want to invest anything in them. I don't think he knows his best team at
the
moment.
And just to point something out to you, Sam, Leicester losing 3-0, by the way, top for BPS this week amongst Leicester players with Schmeichel with 15. So that tells you a lot about how much worse it could have been for Leicester and the performances of the rest of that
I don't think Brendan Rodgers knows who to play at the moment, so he doesn't know whether to start with Barnes or Ian Nacho.
What happened at half time?
Like, he just makes multiple substitutions and it's just
half time in this game.
Change the whole formation.
2-0 down. Oh, I can't remember whether he started Ian Nacho or Barnes, but
Barnes and Madison off?
Yeah, Madison came on at half time with Ian Nacho and Barnes off, and it's just like, what are you doing, Brendan? You don't know what you're doing. Or maybe he looked at it and said, well, we're 2-0 down. I've got to change it. I've got to be more tacky and I've got to bring Iheanacho on. But he doesn't know his best team right now. He doesn't know.
And last season, their best team was the team that was with Iheanacho in it.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to go back to basics.
Yeah.
But something's fundamentally wrong. And I would be concerned about Jamie Vardy and his... I mean, in the same way I'm concerned about Spurs, but at least I saw... attacking
something
potential
in that
from Kane.
There
was attacking potential and he could have returned. I saw nothing from Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Well, my problem is now, you're absolutely right, I've got to stick with him, haven't I? He's got Watford at home. I mean, I can't...
It's very hard to sell him ahead of Watford.
And I do want to keep that premium spot open. I mean, there's a lot of talk in the community about, you know, what do you do? Do you downgrade that premium and invest it in the defence? I'm already reasonably invested in the defence. We'll talk about my team later on. I'm pretty happy with where my defence is. So to go from Vardy to Kane, that's not insignificant because that's about £1.5 million, right? I haven't got a plan for that because I've not seen anywhere near enough from Kane yet to suggest that he's worth £12.5 million.
It's the same with all of this, isn't it?
But then I look at the Chelsea and the United fixture and I go, well, do I want Lukaku or Ronaldo? Well, I definitely don't want Ronaldo at the minute. Do I want Lukaku? Well, maybe if he's fit. And I could go from Vardy to Lukaku, but I don't know if he's fit. There's question marks there. And at the end of the day, Vardy has got Watford at home. I've got to give Vardy Watford at home. I've got to. I've made my bed. I've got to stick with it. If he blanks at home to Watford,
oh my God,
I'm going to rage him out for Hwang or something. I've had enough. It'd just be horrendous. It'd be horrendous. Anyway, moving on from Leicester City, because we're rapidly running out of time, as I knew that we would. Liverpool 4, Arsenal 0. Let's talk about this game then. You took a risk by not captaining Mo Salah in this game. which I would suggest you're probably not going to do now for a few weeks.
No.
Talk to me about the Liverpool performance. I'll talk about my view on it in a bit.
I thought Liverpool were excellent.
Not for 30 minutes we weren't.
I thought Liverpool were excellent in that game. I thought that there was plenty of opportunities to perform well. I thought Mane, and I don't want to keep banging on about Mane, and I know he got returns, but I thought he was awful again for a large chunk
of
that game.
What are you talking
about? No, I did.
What are you talking about?
I thought he was awful again for a large chunk of that game.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
Did we watch the same game?
Maybe not.
The first 30 minutes, he had a stinker. No doubt about it. But then the whole team did. And then Klopp and Arteta had that row about Mane, because it was Mane's challenge on Tomiyasu. And from then on, he was dynamite, Mane.
What are you talking
about?
The underlying stats are really good for Mane. And
yes, and so are the FPL points. He's doing great.
The FPL points are also good, but I don't like watching him at the moment. At all.
Where's this Liverpool hatred coming from?
No, it's only Mane.
Come on,
the rest of them, fine. I'll tell you who I thought had an excellent game. Tsimikas, who I thought was absolutely brilliant again.
Yeah, but you can't bring him in because Robbo's going to have that spot, right? You can't bring him in.
I don't think Robbo deserves that spot.
Oh, shut up. Come on.
He did play
well, Tsimikas. He did all right.
I thought Tsimikas deserves some game time.
He did all right. He's going to get game time in the Champions League though, right?
But I thought Liverpool played well. I was a bit surprised at the Arsenal performance. I thought that they might be a bit better than they were, because they've been really good. Ramsdale was their best player by a very, very long way. He was fantastic.
So good, yeah, he was utterly
fantastic.
He's putting out like worldies left, right and centre like every week. And part of my goalkeeper thinking is that maybe this is watching Alisson for a few seasons and keeping an eye on Edison. And I'll put Hugo Lloris in this bracket as well. They rarely make worldy saves. That you think, oh my God, that's front page news, that save. But that's because they are so good positionally. They are so intelligent, these goalkeepers, that they don't need to, right? They don't need to, because they're always in the right space to make a comfortable save. Am I right to think the opposite of Ramsdale? Am I right to think that positionally he's a bit wobbly, and actually he's got to pull out these worldy saves in a bit of a Pickford-like way? I don't want to do it because I like him and he looks. I love his character, Ramsdale, and he's English, so I think he's a great hope for us next year. And some of the saves he's putting out are fantastic. But is he that good a keeper, or is he just in great, great form at the minute? I feel a bit dirty saying that because I do like him.
I think you've been really hard.
I've been a bit harsh there.
I think you've gone in a bit.
Yeah, that's because you dug out Mane, and now I'm upset.
Bit unnecessary that was. Poor Ramsdale.
He's having a blinder, and he's actually not that good.
Week after week after week, he's having a blinder. I thought Ramsdale was fantastic again. I thought Smith Rowe also had a decent enough game. I thought Saka had a decent enough game. The rest of the Arsenal team, I thought they just weren't.
Newcastle at home next. Don't panic. If you've got Arsenal assets, don't panic.
Don't panic at all. And I think, you know, it was against a good Liverpool side. I just expected, and maybe because Arsenal have been playing well against some lesser sides, I expected more from them in this game. I think that was the bottom line. I expected Arsenal to just be a bit better than they were. And maybe it was a bit of a leveller coming up against Liverpool that says there is still a bit of work for Arsenal to do. But my goodness, I thought...
Acid test for them, right? Especially the younger players. Tavares losing the ball and giving it away to Jota for the second goal.
Yeah.
He'll learn, right? Yeah. He's a young player.
But, you know, don't panic on your Arsenal assets, you know, particularly if you've got Ramsdale, if you've got...
What's interesting for me is how they bounce back from this, right? I expect them to beat Newcastle at home next week.
Well,
so
it'd be interesting.
Keep your Arsenal assets. But from my perspective, if we get a reaction from them, they could be really good for us next week. That's how I'm looking at Saka, and surely how you're looking at Smith Rowe is, I've got to keep.
Because really like
Newcastle at home, nice. And actually, if we get a really good reaction, like I hope that we do, because I like this Arsenal team. They're a young team, and I like what Arteta's doing with them. Then they could be great.
Mm. The only thing I would say is it will be Eddie Howe's first match in the dugout.
It will, yes, it will.
And that will
sure.
potentially give them a bit of a boost on the back of what happened this weekend. Yeah. So
no panic on
Arsenal. No panic on Arsenal.
But Liverpool, go on.
I mean, I saw this as an opportunity, potentially, because I was, as I've said, I was expecting Arsenal to just be a bit better than they were. And we all know I have the rule about if I go to a game, I captain a player I'm going to watch. It's always been my rule.
Yeah.
And
You going to Spurs any time in the next 3 or 4 weeks? Because if you go against Salah next 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be amazed.
Don't think I'm going. No, exactly, not going this side of Christmas, so we're okay. But I just saw it as a bit of an opportunity where Salah had a difficult game and he didn't return with the same level that, you know,
he Salah was. Had a difficult game?
No, on paper it was a difficult game Arsenal. So he had, on paper, a difficult game. Kane on paper had an easier game.
Yeah.
The form obviously was the complete opposite, but I thought I could go there and shout a bit at Harry and he might, you know,
might hit the post.
And actually, to be honest, I've got to say this, I really enjoyed captaining someone else. I know that's a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, but it's fair to be enjoyed, FPL, right at the end of the day.
It was a moment where I don't regret it either. No. Like, yes, it's cost me a tiny bit of rank, but it is a tiny bit. And yes, my arrow would have been green had I captained Salah.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it.
No,
and I think,
enough.
You know, going into the next few weeks, you're totally right. I can't see me captaining anyone other than Salah. He did perform really well. He is quality. He is utterly quality. I thought Jota had a good game as well. I thought Trent had a fantastic game as well. I've maybe gone in a bit hard on Mane, but I'm not seeing. But I just, the thing is with Mane is I know that he can be so much better than we've seen recently. I think that's where the frustration for me comes.
I think he's on great form at the minute. There's moments in the game I get a bit frustrated with him where he might give away a pass or something, but he's deadly at the minute.
But I just, he's maybe deadly. It's
I just think we're all overlooking him because we've all got Salah.
Well, that's
and Jota's
true.
That much cheaper. That's why no one's got Mane in FPL.
Because
if you want to double up on Liverpool midfield, why would you spend 12 million and 11 million when you can spend 12 million and 7 million?
I mean, that's definitely true, but I do think with Mane, every time I watch him, I think, God, you could have got so much more than you did. And I think that's where my negativity towards him comes from, is that I find him a bit.
So in any other season, in FPL, you'd be looking at him going, well, how do I get him in?
Of course. But how can you? Because we've got to buy 8,000 premium defenders.
Yeah, got to have fullbacks, got to have the wingbacks everywhere. So Liverpool, from my perspective, very good. Jota, let's see what this knee injury looks like. I think we'll get a feel from Klopp over the next couple of, because we'll have the European press conference, as you say. We'll have the press conference ahead of the next game. Just, I think get him. I think get him. Oh, well, let's have a look at the Liverpool fixtures. Good shout. Let's have a look at the Liverpool fixtures. Pretty good. It's Saints at home next. And then it's Everton, Wolves, Villa and Newcastle. So that looks like a run where you would want to treble up on Liverpool, I'd suggest. And if you've got Salah and if you've got Trent, which a lot of you will have, I know, you absolutely got to stick with those two. And you've got to think about who you supplement that with. And if you want, and if you can't get excited about Harry Kane yet, if you want to wait on Ronaldo and Lukaku, if you want Vardy out of your team like I do, maybe put that money into Mane. Maybe. But for me, he's not worth the 5 million you've got to find over Jota right now. That's the bit. If Jota's knee is a bad one and he's out for a few weeks, then the Mane rhetoric might come back around. But for now, you can't spend that extra on him.
I also don't think you can spend that extra on him over getting a wing back from another club.
Well, this is it. This is it.
You're taking money out of the forward line.
We knew this. In game week one, when we saw Mane's price, we knew this was the case, right? He's too expensive. And you're going to go the whole season ignoring him because he's too expensive. What I'm saying is, over the next five, if you want a decent differential to go alongside Salah, whatever you do, do not sell Salah for Mane. And you're probably going to captain Salah for each of those fixtures, let's face it. I mean, there's nothing there that you'd worry about, quite frankly. And to be honest, away to Villa in 15, given what happened last season.
Gerrard.
And Stevie's there. I don't know what's going to happen in that game, but it could go off. Liverpool could go off in that game.
I've forgotten about that game.
That game last season.
We were live, weren't we?
Honestly, that game last season, there is so much. Like, I watched
a lot.
You're
still bitter about it. Your whole...
Of course I am. 7-2, Sam. Of course I am.
Your whole body...
What? Changed.
Everything changed in that moment. You've remembered it. The whole point of everything you said and the way you said it changed.
Trust me. Trust me when I say we as a fan base, and therefore I think the players and the manager, they were mentally scarred by that game. Champions going into that game being beat 7-2 by Villa. Trust me, they're going to want to put that right.
Steve Gerrard's going to want to repeat it.
Triple captain Salah game at 15. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm putting it out there. Let's go to the next game. Let's go to the next game. Let's cover a couple more. We've got to. I'm sorry, Man United fans. If you're in the chat, there is no chat. If you're in the comments, let us know how you're feeling about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sacked, Sam, after this game. Sacked. by mutual consent. And for the podcast listeners, I'm doing the air quotes by mutual consent. There was a board meeting shortly after the game where they all decided that now was the right time to sack Ollie, even though they don't have anybody to come in and replace him, even though they have a really difficult game coming up against Chelsea. Now, Sam, was the right time to sack Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. What are we saying?
I mean,
how bad were they in this game? First of all, let's cover the game. How bad were they?
Awful.
Take nothing away from Watford. Watford were very good. But United were absolute dog, weren't they?
The one thing I will say here is they made Watford look like...
Oh, yeah.
They made Watford look like Liverpool.
It made Sissoko look like Iniesta. It was unreal. Well,
Sissoko nearly scored in that game. Sissoko nearly scores in a game, you know that you've played badly.
They lost 4-1 and they missed a penalty.
I mean, I love Sissoko, Watford... Let's take nothing away from Watford. They did their job. They went out there, they played, and they beat the team that were in front of them very, very well and very, very convincingly.
Shout out Foster owners, by the way. If you stuck with Foster for this game, get an assist. How good's that?
Foster with the assist.
Love it.
Yeah, nothing negative to say about Watford. If you want to go Dennis because you want cheap forward up front, fine. I don't think there's anything that inspiring about going Watford, though. So, apart from Foster, when there's assist potential. But when it comes to Manchester United, well, for a start, they were fighting each other. Bruno was fighting with the fans.
That was interesting at the end, that.
Everything's gone wrong.
That Ollie was going to the fans and he was putting his hands up saying, look, I know, I know, I know. And obviously the fans, not that we could see it on the pictures, but the fans were obviously giving it to Ollie. And Bruno was kind of like, no. This is a collective. We all take responsibility. So there's... The mood in the camp is,
and that's why it was the right decision to sack him. So yes, the moment is wrong.
I guess so.
In terms of they've got Chelsea up next, there's no decent available managers. So the moment is terrible from many perspectives, but also the moment is correct when you look at what happened in that game against Watford, and what happened with that limited away fan base at the end of that game. It was the right thing to do because clearly. The dressing room is gone, but the fans have lost.
So what are we saying about FPL then for Man United going forward? You're not bringing in anybody ahead of Chelsea, are you?
Well, no. But, and so what's going to be interesting now for us as FPL managers, what Manchester United do next? So they've already said it'll be Carrick for now, with Fletcher helping him. I mean, that sounds like a brilliant managerial partnership for Chelsea away.
Tuchel must... The Chelsea fans. If you're a Chelsea fan, get in the... I want to hear from you in the comments. How are you feeling about this game? They've got to be licking their lips, haven't they, Chelsea?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we've got a Champions League game to play midweek first. So, for both sides. So, look, let's see what happens here. They're saying at the moment they want to get an interim manager till the end of the season because they want to get Poch or Ten Hag
in the
summer.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I guess it is going to be Poch. But, again, this is bad business by Manchester United because both of those managers have just signed new longer term contracts with Ajax and Paris. So now it's going to cost them more.
It's almost, Sam, like they should have done it a few weeks ago and got Conte, isn't it?
Well, in the first half of Spurs, we were so awful. We were like, is Conte trying to get himself sacked to go to United? Is that why we're playing so badly? But no, in the end, yes, they absolutely should have done this weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
If you had Ronaldo in FPL, what are you doing?
You can't sell. Can you?
Chelsea next. Of course you can. Who'd you get, though? That's the question. Who'd you get?
I think
if you're a Ronaldo owner after that, with Chelsea up next, and Kane's got Burnley and shown a bit of form in the second half against Leeds, I think you're sideways move, aren't you? Would you do that move? Oh, no. Well, you would. Because it's two Kanes. Of course you would. But if I had Ronaldo, that's what I'd be doing. Or I'd be having a cheeky look at Lukaku if he's fit.
I would want to wait, honestly.
Yeah.
And see what happens in the Champions League. And see what happens this week in terms of who they're going to get to manage them. If it's going to be Carrick and Fletcher till the end of the season, then my God, just get off. Get off now.
Just leave. I think leave either way. And what was most amusing to me, I guess, as a Liverpool fan, sorry Man United fans, was that, you know, the outgoing goal for Ollie's tenure was by Donny van der Beek, a player that I think would have solved a lot of United's problems if he'd have just been given a chance.
He might get more game time now.
Honestly, don't know what Ollie's doing, but anyway, he's gone. So, Adios, Ollie. Adios. So much else to talk about, Sam. We've got to briefly go through these games, but Burnley 3, Palace 3, absolutely bonkers game. 2 for Benteke, who I think you called out as a jammy pick this week. Whether you did it on our channel or Scout's channel?
No,
we're
not.
On our channel, there we go. So go back and watch the jammy pick video, guys. Although it's jammy picks for game week 12. So what's the point we're trying to make here? The point is, subscribe
to the... last couple of weeks, I've got the jammy picks.
Subscribe to the channel. Because when Sam's jammy pick video comes out, you're going to want to watch it. Last couple of weeks, there's been great jammy pick differentials coming out, including Benteke from this week. And Newcastle 3, Brentford 3 as well. No, nothing for Mbeumo, which was... disappointing.
Well, that was one of the Patreon questions actually that we had, was about what do we do with the Brentford assets, because
Tony got his goal and Rico Henry got another goal,
but Mbeumo, like, as an Mbeumo owner, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know, I've got other things in my team I want to do, frankly, and actually the fixtures for Brentford, Vardy potentially, yeah, and let's look at the fixtures for Brentford. I don't think they look too bad. It's Everton at home next, then it's Spurs, Leeds, Watford, United. So listen, there is potential for Tony and Mbeumo to get goals, but I don't know how often or how much longer I can sit here and talk about possible goals for Mbeumo. I mean, the fact he's hit the post 6 or 7 times this season, I'm starting to wonder whether he's just not a good finisher or whether he's not getting in the post. I don't know. That's how quickly the rhetoric can change around players like this, right? Because I bought him in for Norwich and Newcastle. I'm like, right, those two games, Norwich, Newcastle, despite what's coming up afterwards, which is pretty good, Norwich and Newcastle, bang. Got to be points there. Got to be points. And even if you've got Ivan Tony, guys, if you get in the comments, if you're a Tony owner, is that enough? Is one goal enough from those two games for you to hold? I would say it probably is just. But in Mbeumo owners, what are we doing now? Because you've got Conor Gallagher, who's playing great for Crystal Palace. You've got Smith Rowe, who's going to be up against Newcastle at home next. There are other players in that bracket now. Do we get off Mbeumo? I'm tempted, I'll be honest, but there's other things I want to do in my team.
Yeah.
Would you sell him if you had Mbeumo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's those two games, Norwich, Newcastle. No FPL points. I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about Mbeumo. That's easy to say, by the way. Got a bee in my bonnet about Mbeumo at the moment because of those two games. That's my problem. Can I keep the faith? Should we keep the faith? I don't know.
I mean, I went Smith Rowe at the same time you did that.
Yeah. Good move.
We're happier with that.
Good move. Tell me about Newcastle then. Lascelles scoring at both ends, which is quite comical. The goals kind of spread around, actually. One for St. Max and an assist, by the way. Joe Linton as well.
Nothing for Wilson.
So if you're a Wilson owner, again, what are we doing? I think got to go away to Arsenal next, too. Obviously, that's a difficult game now for Eddie Howe. Mm. I think you're expecting to get something from this Brentford game. But if you're a Wilson owner, I think you've picked him for a reason, not just for Brentford at home. So I think you've got to ride that storm out a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. An assist for Fraser, by the way, which made me laugh. After all of the cloud at which he left Bournemouth under Eddie Howe, to get an assist in this game was quite comical, I thought. Couple more games to discuss, Sam. Wolves 1, West Ham 0. Tell me about your two transfers for this week. You got rid of Jimenez and Semedo this week.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I had to get Cancelo. So... somebody had to be sacrificed, and it was a straight choice between Jimenez and Antonio, and honestly, I couldn't bring myself to sell Antonio just yet. And so I thought,
what about Antonio out now?
Well, now
have a look at these West Ham fixtures, Sam. Have a look at these West Ham fixtures coming up. I've got to talk you through these. So West Ham, bottom of the ticker, away at City.
Mm-hmm.
Can he score? Yes, he can.
But I don't want him to. I've got Cancelo now.
Well, there's that, but you know, you're not backing him to get a haul there. Brighton at home, Chelsea, Burnley away, Arsenal away. These are not games, I don't think, we're expecting much from Antonio. Now listen, West Ham having a great season, don't get me wrong. Despite the defeat here, away at Wolves, still you've got to say they're having a good season. What are we doing about Antonio now? Because these fixtures look pretty awful. These are not games where he's going to get 2 or 3 goals.
No. Don't know yet.
He's
on the agenda for maybe somebody that gives me a bit of money to upgrade Brandon Williams. But yeah, so I basically made the decision. So Semedo, I don't care about the clean sheet because he was never getting in the starting 11 anyway. He would have always been my first sub. So right. that is as it is. Jimenez getting the goal. I knew if you sell Jimenez...
He will burn you.
He will hurt, but he's never going to hurt that much. He's owned He's very
Why does he never brace Jimenez?
Never.
Why does he always just get one goal?
He's always very low. He's also very lowly owned as well. So in terms of like what he's going to do to your rank.
What a great differential.
He was a great differential. Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. But then I wouldn't have had Cancelo, who got 12 or whatever he got. So
I'm just winding you up. Because those two transfers out. When you saw that result.
Honestly.
Fuming.
We were driving home when that result came in, weren't we? And
just
I was like.
Begging Antonio to score.
I was like, just. To be honest, I'd have taken any West Ham goal.
A Craig Dawson off his backside.
Anything.
You'd have taken it.
I'd taken anything. It, yeah. I would. Yeah, that. I mean, that was peak FPL, that result. It really was.
It really was.
It really was. But.
You were like. So you were happy with the Cancelo, but it was
weeks,
just like, oh.
All those really? Weeks I've had Semedo since my wild card.
Yeah.
Has he returned any points? Absolutely 0 points. And then the week selling me clean sheet. Okay. I mean, it's typical. But it still enabled me to have Cancelo, which was the important thing.
Yes. Interestingly, 3 points for Ryan Aitnouri, who we got a heads up from the manager, didn't we, from Bruno Lage before the game, that he's going to get the start, Aitnouri. So if you did bring him in, fair play, well done, because he got the 3 bonus points, despite not getting a goal or an assist. So he must have played very, very well. I've not seen the highlights of this game, but must have played very advanced, must have got into those positions that we like for FPR underlying stats and BPS. So one to watch maybe, but of course you've got the spectre of Marcel always there, looming over Aitnouri as a potential rotation risk. So for me, not one I'm going to go to, mainly because I want to spend big in my defence, not on the likes of Ryan Aitnouri. I think there's others out there that I'm willing to pay a premium for because they are that good. So there's a very, I would say brief, but a look at the fixtures for the game week, Sam. Let's go and have a look at how our teams got on. Do you want to do me first or you? How would you like to play?
I'll do mine.
Let's do you. Okay, so a very small red arrow, which for a non-Salah captainer...
I'm quite pleased with it.
I think you've got away with one again this week, I'll be honest.
Oh, you are.
You've got away with
what
one there.
What is wrong with you?
Were it not for Ramsdale, Salah's got a couple of goals and an assist, and you're in the mud. Whereas, as it is, you've fluked that. Minus 2.2%.
You're in the mud.
So you've got an overall points of 7.77, which is... That's got to be lucky, isn't it?
Is it?
Again, very lucky, your team this week, to have got away with the Salah non-captaincy.
What are you talking about?
That's fate, isn't it? Your total points is 7.77. If that doesn't sum up your season, what does? Game week points, 69. Overall rank, 229k. A rank change, a very small red arrow of 2.2. Talk us through your team.
Wolves trolled me. Cancelo came in and did bits. Pep trolled me. Pep, stop taking people off on 58 minutes. Why?
Yeah.
Pep, why?
We didn't discuss that. Foden, problem in your team now or?
Oh, no.
No? Holding.
Why would it be a problem?
It's West Ham up next. West Ham not an easy
You've
game for
them. You just
said
that Watford are a problem. West Ham are a problem. Oh, no, I'm not worried about Foden.
I love winding you up on these like videos because every time I do, your voice goes higher. Like, and I just, if I keep twisting the knife a little bit, it just gets higher and higher and higher. Go on. Foden with the 1-pointer. Not great, yeah. Not great.
Yeah. The rest of them, like Kane genuinely, and I'm not just saying this, he could have got a goal, probably should have got a goal in that game. Antonio's a frustration. He's one that is definitely on the cusp of feeling annoyed about.
Yeah.
But
herein lies why, and we'll see in my team in a minute the same. Here's why we're going big at the back. 14, 15, 12. It's crazy. It's crazy. These premium defensive assets are doing the business.
Like, and I thought Brighton were going to get a clean sheet till right of the death when Steven Gerrard managed to get something out of that game.
Yeah.
So that would have been 6 for
Damn
for
you,
Steel
Ollie Watkins.
Well. He was also in the Jammy Pit. Was he in the Jammy Pit video? He's another one I've been talking about this week, though,
get
Ollie
him
Watkins.
In, then.
Yeah, I mean...
Stop talking about these players. Get him in.
I do a lot of talking about players and don't bring them in. But yeah.
Go on, then. So... A reasonable, you've got to have a look at Jota now. We've got to see about the knee injury. Smith Rowe, not a problem. Newcastle up next. There's not a lot to change in that team. But what are your early thoughts about game week 13 then? Where are you looking for transfers?
Well, I'm going to probably roll because because there's nothing that may, unless Klopp comes out and says Jota's out for 4 weeks, he won't. But if he did, then that would be problematic. Otherwise, I'll probably roll it, to be honest, because a lot of them got nice fixtures next week. And then that gives me the place to do something more major the week after in terms of another premium defender, probably.
Okay.
But that means taking money out elsewhere, which would mean a hit. Don't want to take a hit.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Total points, 777. The luck that has gone with the Salah non-captaincy, the swerving... of the big red arrow there, only the 2.2% down to 229k.
It's basically grey.
For every bit of luck that you get, Sam, I do not get it.
What are you talking about? You've got a green arrow this week.
A green arrow this week. 71 points, 755 overall points with 428k. So again, up 10%, which is fine. Again, my team is so template, guys. And I've been talking about this for a few weeks now. My team is so template that whenever I have a game week, it's either a little red or a little green. And again, it's a little... It was Saka. Okay. So again, Rudiger sitting there. So annoying. It's so annoying.
It's your fault, though. You should have made better benching decisions.
Shut your face. I was so annoyed.
Is that high pitched now?
Rudiger with his 6-point ceiling. I'm just like, right, do I want to double up against Leicester away?
Yeah.
And again, swaying my decision, bloody rat-faced Vardy again as well. I'm sitting there thinking, well, if I've got Vardy in my team, do I want to double up Chelsea defence? Well, no. So which of those two I'm going to play? Clearly, I'm going to play Chilwell. Benched Rudiger. Not only that, second bench him as well. What a disaster.
Why would you have a relatively premium defender and second bench him?
Because I just thought every week I bench Livramento and he's got Norwich, so I'll play him. And I thought, Rudiger's got a 6-point ceiling and I backed Leicester to maybe score in that game because I got Vardy. So not only is Vardy not getting me points, he's influencing my decisions away from getting points with the other players that I have got in my team.
But yet you're not going to sell Vardy.
I know! I don't understand FPL. It's so bloody annoying. It's getting on my nerves. So anyway, the back line doing the business. Trent, Chilwell, Cancelo. Those three, barring injury... I am not moving any of those three. They look so good. They look so, so good. And as you'll see, I fancy Cancelo for captaincy. Even viced Cancelo, right? So Salah captain, obviously. Not going to change that now for the next few weeks because we talked about the Liverpool fixtures. So what are your feelings about risk now in FPL? Not about, forget my team. This is more of a macro FPL conversation because we're all going to captain Salah for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So your transfers, and certainly my transfers, and I have 2 frees coming into next week, I want to take some more risks around the edge. I've got a template team and I'm going to have a template captain for the next 5 weeks. But what should I do?
This was my point, right? Is that's part of the reason I went with Kane this week because it was an educated gamble. It didn't quite pay off, but it wasn't the end of the world. The only way to get decent traction at the moment is to differentiate your team in some way.
Having said that, had I played Rudiger,
would have been fine.
I'm one decision away from a big green there, aren't I? One decision. It's a Livramento versus Rudiger. And even if I'd have jammed it off the bench, if I'd have made him first sub rather than second sub, and Rafinha had come off, I'd have jammed those 14 points. So I'm a bit unlucky, aren't I? A bit unlucky.
No, you're not unlucky. It's bad management.
Shut up. Give me what? What? Give me that. Anyway.
Hotel, I love wine.
So what should I be doing?
So my point is...
I'm too template. I've got to do something different.
The only way to make massive traction... So otherwise you do what you do, which is make very, very small incremental changes. And it gets you where you want to be in the end, but it's going to take you maybe 10, 12 game weeks. Or you take some educated gambles. Now, for me, this goes back to that conversation that you were having before and you were talking about needing to own Reece James. Well, yes, I get you. But you own Rudiger and Chilwell. If you go sideways from Rudiger or Chilwell to James, it's going to make your team more template, if anything.
Yeah,
so
true.
So
Reece James, good though.
I don't disagree with you, but you're saying you want to make your and I've been saying this for weeks. It's what I say on my Jammy Pit videos every week. Your differentials need to do the work for you. They're the ones that will bring you the green.
Yeah.
And if you nail them, they will make your arrow green because Salah captaincy is going to make everyone level. So you've got to make your transfers work for you. Now, actually, where you are at the moment, Jamie Vardy potentially is a great differential. That if he returns,
don't tell me to keep him. I'm not interested.
Just saying.
That what I'm looking at. So my transfers that I have considered for the next week are: it's a new front line. I want a new front line.
How many transfers you got?
I got 2 frees, and I want rid of Vardy.
And who?
And possibly Antonio.
Oof.
Based on the fixtures.
Lukaku?
Well, I'd go Vardy to Lukaku, and I'd need a bit of money to do that, so I'd have to do Antonio down to, like, Jimenez or something like that.
You can't have Jimenez.
Of course I can.
You cannot.
Of course I can. If I want a steady return of points from a nice differential, I wouldn't even dream of selling Jimenez.
What a terrible
move that be. So I've got... That's what I'm thinking, guys. That's what I'm thinking. I want to get Reece James in. I don't... you can say what you like. You ain't going to talk me out of that. And yes, it's a template move, but he's so good.
Well, that's a minus four then you're doing.
Might do. Might do. Might go for a little mini wild card. I might do. I mean, Reece James in. Antonio and Vardy.
For what? Antonio? Rudiger?
Rudiger to James. Sideways, yeah. Sideways. Rudiger ain't getting 14 points every week. And when he does, I bench him anyway. So, but that's what I'm looking at. Looking at Rudiger to James as one of my transfers. And then possibly doing something with Antonio and Vardy. But I think what you said before is absolutely right. You've got to wait it out. Let's get the Champions League games out of the way. Let's see. But for sure, I can see myself going into next game week.
You're not going to go sure, surely?
Absolutely not. But what I can see myself going to next game week is Trent, Cancelo, Chilwell and James. I can see those four
against
being my defence.
Against Man United.
100%.
You'd play the
Did you watch Man United this week?
But you wouldn't play them against Leicester, but you will play them against Man United.
I will now, yeah. I will now. There we go, guys. That is it for tonight's episode. I don't know if we've left that. Have we left that on a bit of a row? I think we have.
I don't understand you. I don't understand.
Oh, there we go. Let's talk about what's going on this week very briefly. Shows, podcasts, anything going on?
No.
No shows, no podcasts?
No.
Oh, goodness me. All right, guys. Well, the only thing left to do
there'll be jammy picks and stuff on our channel this
week.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. The only thing left to do, of course, is to hit subscribe so that you get the jammy pick videos. You get the top points pick videos from Sam as we go through the week. Well done to all of you in game week 12. If you've got a good score, green arrows, well done. Get in the comments below. We'd love to hear how you guys got on. What was your score? And what are your early transfer thoughts ahead of game week 13? Are you going to target that Chelsea versus Man United game like I am? Are you going to stick with Harry Kane? Or are you going to stick with Jamie Vardy? Even though he's costing me points.
Might have a party, Lee.
Left, right and centre. Are you going to stick with Vardy against Watford? Guys, thank you for joining us here for this very different non-live stream, usual kind of video. We'll be back as usual next Sunday, 8:30. As usual with the live stream, we'll have the chat. We'll have all of you guys back in. Very much looking forward to it. Until then, thanks for watching the video. Leave us a like before you go. Don't forget that subscribe button and the little notify bell. We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.